Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me for this first program of the new year. We'll start by taking a look back at the old year to review the top 10 assistive tech innovations, and then we'll do a little thinking about setting goals for the new year and what happens if you don't meet those goals. And finally, we'll pay tribute to Braille Literacy Awareness Month. Starting out, I have an article titled Blind New World's Choice for the Top 10 Assistive Tech Innovations in 2017. This comes from the website blindnewworld.org. And the article was written by the team that works at Blind New World. They say 2017 was a big year for assistive technology for the blind and visually impaired. While some products are still in development, it is exciting to see so much in the works. We have compiled 10 of our favorite tech advancements from last year. Which ones are you most excited about? Number one is called the Wayband, W-A-Y-B-A-N-D. It's made by a company called Wear.Works, WearWorks. This wearable device guides users to a specific location using vibrations. The Wayband helps the visually impaired navigate the world unassisted, and it was used during the New York City Marathon for the first time in 2017. That's the Wayband. Number two, Be My Eyes. I think you heard about this sometime last year in this program. Be My Eyes. This free mobile app connects visually impaired individuals with a sighted volunteer via video chat for assistance with just everyday tasks. Sighted volunteers can help someone check the expiration date on a carton of milk, figure out what color shirt to wear. It's a perfect way to connect the two worlds and to learn from each other. That's Be My Eyes. The next, number three, is a Dot. It's a smartwatch. Dot, D-O-T, is the first tactile smartwatch. The device can tell the date and time and share notifications with additional features available on an app. In addition to being useful technology, the watch also features a stylish, sleek design. This watch is called Dot, D-O-T. Number four, Tactile is what they call this text-to-braille converter, Tactile. Developed by a team at MIT, this prototype hopes to bring text-to-braille conversion to a wider audience. Although this product is still in development, the goal is to make this technology affordable and accessible for the visually impaired community. About the width of a paperback book page, this device will be easy to carry around and use on the go. This is called Tactile, a text-to-braille converter. Next, we have number five, Apple VoiceOver. Apple has enhanced its VoiceOver features, increasing accessibility for the visually impaired. With improvements to reading PDFs and email messages, Apple is working to integrate accessibility features more seamlessly into their overall operating system. And this is pertaining to the existing system, Apple VoiceOver. Next, you also heard about this on the program at some point last year, I remember. It's called the Read Read. The Read Read is an educational device that teaches Braille without a teacher. Tablets for each letter are placed into a slot on the device. When a tablet is touched, audio mimicking the sound for each letter is heard. This is available now for pre-order. This technology grants independence to students, allowing them to study their ABCs anytime and anywhere. The next is number seven. It's called BrainPort. BrainPort uses electrotactical technology to help blind users with orientation, mobility, and object recognition. Available by prescription, BrainPort, that's written as all one word, BrainPort, comprises a set of camera-equipped sunglasses. These attach to a device that's placed in the user's mouth. The device creates moving patterns on the user's tongue, which some have described as pixels. This will help them understand the objects in front of them. In fact, some users have even used it to help them climb mountains. This is, once again, Brainport. Number 8, the Talking Laundry module. Developed by a self-taught 14-year-old programmer, the Talking Laundry module is a small device that attaches to your washer and dryer and reads out various settings. The device is designed to help people who are visually impaired know how much time is left in their wash cycle and help them to select the correct settings. Now, if only it could fold that laundry, too. Number 9 is called the IC, E-Y-E-S-E-E, the IC. This is developed by college students. The IC is a helmet prototype designed to help the visually impaired see the world around them. In addition to describing objects and people for the user, the helmet also emits a warning sound when the wearer gets too close to an obstacle, making life on the go just a little bit safer. Number 10, this is 10 of the top 10 assistive tech innovations as determined by Blind New World. Number 10 is the Braille tablet. This is currently in development at the University of Michigan. This Braille tablet is the first of its kind. It's designed to read entire pages of text rather than one line. This tablet will use air or fluid to push up Braille letters, eliminating the need for excessive motors that would make the device too large. Once again, the top 10, I'll run down the list. Number 1, the Wayband. 2, Be My Eyes. 3, the Dot smartwatch. Number 4, the Tactile Text to Braille Converter. Number 5, Apple VoiceOver with its improvements. Number 6, the Read to teach you Braille. Number 7, the Brainport. Number 8, the Talking Laundry Module. Number 9, the IC. And number 10, the Braille Tablet. So now we'll look ahead to the new year. This comes from the website Vision Aware. They are advocating for a 3-step process for setting goals for the new year. This was written by Sheila Rousey from Vision Aware. In the educational setting, instructors are taught that goals must be observable and measurable. A more simplified explanation of setting or reaching goals include the following 3 things: identifying a specific goal to be reached, observing or looking for changes in understandings or behaviors, and lastly, number 3, measuring the success of the goal. So, how does this definition apply to the rest of us? If you think of setting goals as a 3-step process, the likelihood of reaching your goal may be more easily realized. So, for example, nothing personal with this one, of course, setting a goal to lose weight. Let's take one of the very common and often failed goals that most individuals put at the top of their list for the new year. After a holiday season of indulgences in food and celebrations centered around the table, weight loss finds an honorary place at the top of most lists. Using the 3-step process listed above, let's get to work on losing some of those extra pounds. Step 1 is to set a realistic goal for how much weight you want to lose. This is going to require some thought about your lifestyle and level of activity. You will want to determine the length of time that it will take for you to reach your goal. If you do not set a length of time for reaching your goal, you will not be able to determine your success. It is suggested that you set the duration for this goal to be no more than 3 to 6 months. That's why it is so important to set a realistic goal at the very beginning of the process. The final part of this step is to prepare for success. You will want to research and learn how to eat more healthily. You will want to clean out your pantry and remove the tempting unhealthy food products. You would want to go shopping and keep your goal in mind as you select foods that can help you to reach your goal. Number 2 in the goal setting process, now you think about what actions or behaviors that you are going to put into place in order to reach your goals. In the case of weight loss, let's determine to serve smaller portions as well as to use smaller china plates for our meals. We will not partake of second helpings. We will immediately move away from the dinner table upon completing the meal. There will be no snacks between meals. Since exercise is important for healthy weight loss, get into the habit of exercising as part of the process for success. Do not overwhelm yourself with too many behavioral changes. Just stick to those that you have determined to change. So we come to step three. At the end of the predetermined period of time toward meeting your goal, evaluate, that's step three, evaluate the level of weight loss that you have accomplished. If the goal has been met, you now know how to move to more easily use the strategies and behaviors to manage your weight control. If your goal has not been reached, reevaluate your goal and move through the three-step process once again in order to refine and improve on your strategies or behaviors that can assist you in ultimately reaching your goal. So those three steps once again towards setting goals. Number one, identify the specific goal to be reached. Also set a time limit. Number two, look for some changes in your behaviors. And number three, measure the success once you get there. And then we come to the question that we're all wondering, what happens when a New Year's resolution does not happen? This is a blog from Vision Aware written by Empish Thomas. We've heard some of her blogs in the past. Her title for this one is Last Year's Resolution About Learning Braille. She says, this is Empish Thompson saying, in January of last year, I made a resolution to refresh my Braille skills. I wrote a blog post for Vision Aware called My Journey Back to Braille. In that post, I shared about how I had learned Braille many years ago, but had not put it to full use. I shared how I knew the basics of my letters and numbers, which is called alphabetic Braille. I described how I could read a few words, some punctuation and short form words, but that is really about it. So I decided to challenge myself and take a Hadley School for the Blind course in Braille to become more proficient so that I could read books, magazines, and write notes. I specifically noticed at work that I needed to use Braille more in reading documents for meetings, workshops, and presentations. So I signed up for the full course, and I got started. I shared my goal with friends and family, and even created a workspace in my home specifically for my Braille work. I received my instructions and assignments in the mail on a monthly basis. I completed them and emailed my homework. I regularly corresponded with my instructor via email with an occasional phone call. Each week I practiced and I noticed an improvement. I finished my first course rather quickly and got my certificate in alphabetic Braille in January. I immediately signed up for the next course that concentrated on literary Braille. This focuses on contractions, punctuation, writing, reading full sentences, and paragraphs. But this is when things shifted in my life. I have to be honest in saying that I don't even remember what exactly happened, but things got busy, and my practice time began to decrease. I noticed around the springtime that I was running late and turning in my homework, so I finally had to contact my instructor to say that I could not complete the course and had to return my materials. When I think about it, it was not that the course was too hard or demanding. It was not that I was bored or that the lessons were not interesting. I think that my life was changing, and I had to change with it. Sometimes, when we set a goal for the new year, it looks good on the forefront. We plan it out and put things in place to achieve that goal. It's not that we are unrealistic or our expectations are off base, but life moves us in a different direction that we did not expect. I think that's what happened to me. So when I realized that my journey back to Braille was not going to be achieved, I was not distressed about it. I was not angry or upset. I was not sad or depressed. I was not anxious or worried. I was at peace and okay about it. This fact helped me to realize that not achieving this goal was not necessarily my fault, and that I should not blame myself, that perhaps at a later date I could come back to the Braille and try again, or that maybe this is all the Braille that I need to know for this time in my life. Today, almost a year later, I have had time to reflect on my Braille skills and see that I have enough Braille to do the things that I need for my life, that being proficient in alphabetic Braille is enough for now, I realized that reading books and magazines is a great thing to want to achieve, but in all honesty, my life is busy and I don't have the time to read them in Braille. I have learned to be okay with that. At the present, I use Braille to label file folders both at home and at work. I use Braille to label the CD cases for my computer and my music. I use Braille to read the bathroom signs and the office signs in the buildings. I use Braille for identifying my spices. I use Braille for labeling my clothing, and I even use Braille for labeling my lipstick tubes. I also realized that part of wanting to achieve this goal was because of social pressure. As a blind person, you are supposed to be proficient in Braille. That's what everyone expects and even sometimes demands. People are genuinely surprised when they hand me a book or document, and I tell them I am not able to fully read it. There is a perception that knowledge of Braille automatically goes with blindness, no questions asked. So whether you want to or not, whether it makes sense or not, whether you can or not, you do it or die trying. And she gives a lot of laughs for that comment. I realized that is also what I was doing. I was trying hard to live up to this expectation that really did not fit who and what I am. I realized that in the midst of taking on a challenge, I was not being authentic and true to myself. The important thing is that I had already mastered enough Braille to carry out the everyday tasks I needed to do, such as labeling and identifying signs. I did not need it for reading at this time. So, what happens when a New Year's resolution does not quite happen? January is not only the beginning of the new year to look at setting new goals, but also a time to look back at what goals were set the year before and reflect on those. What happened last year? Why did it happen? Are there things that can be done differently for this year? How can you make peace with resolutions that you did not achieve and maybe won't achieve? So that is the blog about setting goals and what happens if you don't meet your goal. This was written by, let's see, her name is Empish Thomas, and she writes through the website Vision Aware. So next, we've been mentioning Braille in this particular blog. January is Braille Literacy Awareness Month. About Louis Braille. Now, you probably know the story of Louis Braille. He lived from 1809 to 1852. But, you know, I found a description of his life from the publication called The Braille Bug. This is done by the American Foundation for the Blind. It's written for young people, and I found it to be quite amusing, interesting, and very, very readable. So I'll refresh your memory about Louis Braille by reading you this article from the American Foundation for the Blind. It says, six dots, six bumps. Six bumps in different patterns, like constellations spreading out over the page. What are they? Numbers, letters, words. Who made this code? Well, none other than Louis Braille, a French 12-year-old who was also blind, and his work changed the world of reading and writing forever. Louis was from a small town called Couperet near Paris. He was born on January 4th in 1809. Louis became blind by accident when he was 3 years old. Deep in his dad's harness workshop, Louis tried to be like his dad, but it went very wrong. He grabbed an awl, a sharp tool for making holes, and the tool slid and hurt his eye. The wound got infected and the infection spread, and soon Louis was blind in both eyes. All of a sudden, Louis needed a new way to learn. He stayed at his old school for two more years, but he couldn't learn everything just by listening. Things were looking up when Louis got a scholarship to the Royal Institution for Blind Youth in Paris when he was 10 years old. But even there, most of the teachers just talked at the students. The library had 14 huge books with raised letters that were very hard to read. Louis was impatient. Then in 1821, a former soldier named Charles Barbier visited the school. Barbier shared his invention called night writing. This is a code of 12 raised dots that let soldiers share top secret information on the battlefield without even having to speak. But unfortunately, the code was too hard for the soldiers, but not for the 12-year-old Louis. Louis Trenbarbier's 12 dots into 6, ironed out the system by the time he was 15, and then published the first ever Braille book in 1829. But did he stop there? No way. In 1837, he added symbols for math and for music. But since the public was skeptical, blind students had to study Braille on their own. Even at the Royal Institution, where Louis taught after he graduated, Braille wasn't taught until after his death, when he died on January 6, 1852. Braille began to spread worldwide in 1868 when a group of British men, now known as the Royal National Institute for the Blind, took up his cause. Now, in the present, practically every country in the world uses Braille. Braille books have double-sided pages, which saves a lot of space. Braille signs help blind people get around in public places. And most importantly, blind people can communicate independently without needing print. Louis proved that if you have the motivation, you can do incredible things. So next, we have some facts to share with you, facts that you can share, actually. Share with anybody who will listen to you. This is during Braille Literacy Awareness Month. This is published by a blog at ncpad.org. This is a website that promotes increased participation in physical activity among people of all abilities. The author of this blog is Jasmine Hall. Every January, the visually impaired and legally blind, their loved ones, and their advocates, many of which sit in one or more of these demographics, recognize Braille Literacy Month. As one can probably ascertain from the title, participants hope to stoke the dwindling use of the revolutionary reading system. Audio technology may have curbed Braille usage in the classroom and workplace, but that doesn't dilute its significance or usefulness. Educating oneself and the rest of the populace about visual impairments, blindness, and reality of Braille marks the best strategy for promoting its prolificacy. Number one, this is a fact you can share with people. Braille is not a language. Actually, nearly every widely spoken language out there sports its own Braille system. It isn't relegated exclusively to English or written language in general. Math, computer science, and music, which was developed quite early in the system's existence, all have their own unique systems to accommodate the visually impaired as well. Another fact, lessons in Braille begin with tactile exercises. National Braille Week's official site notes the Royal Blind School's strategies for educating visually impaired children initially involve activities meant to fortify their fingertips. Uniquely textured objects are placed on trays, and the young students must sort them based on how they feel. These activities enhance their tactile sensitivity for more advanced notebook-based exercises starting in their teen years. Another fact that you can share: at the age of 20, Louis Braille published the first complete book about the Braille system. It's a long title, and it's called Method of Writing Words, Music, and Plain Songs by Means of Dots for Use by the Blind and Arranged for Them. This textbook hit the classrooms in 1829, detailing all the ins and outs of Louis Braille's brand new system. As one can probably expect from its lasting influence, it proved an incredibly valuable asset in schools who are educating people who are visually impaired. Another fact that you'd like to share with anybody who'll listen: the Missouri School for the Blind was the first American educational institution to accept Braille. They incorporated the Braille system in 1854. This was despite protests from the fully sighted teachers who were unwilling to try to learn its intricacies. Obviously, the trend took hold and landed in both specialty and in mainstream schools alike. Here's another little known fact if you do your math. Six-dot Braille, which is the common form, six-dot Braille cells have 63 possible combinations. Each cell is arranged as an affair with two dots across and three dots down. A through J sit in the top two rows. K through T include the last, and U through Z add the last two dots to the first five letters. I don't quite understand that. But anyhow, W, however, plays by its own rules, owing to the fact that the original French language included no such letter. Okay, another fact that you can share, there are three different grades of Braille. Every grade represents a different level, with grade 1 being best for those just starting to learn Braille, and grade 3 for the more familiar. Basic letters and punctuation characterize the first. Second grade builds off of that to include contractions, making it the most common version found in public. Once a person hits grade 3 Braille, he or she can learn the shorthand for personal use, such as lists and notes, rather than the more formalized literature Braille. Another fact that you can share, Braille for feet actually exists. In order for businesses to meet standards set by the Americans with Disabilities Act, Tilco Vanguard, that's the name of a company, Tilco Vanguard, developed a veritable Braille for the feet that assists the visually impaired in knowing the boundaries of dangerous areas. Technically referred to as truncated domes, these bright yellow strips spell out a universal message in order to keep store and restaurant patrons safe. Next fact that you can share, most legally blind children in the United States do not use Braille resources. Shockingly enough, 34% of the 59,000 legally blind American children, this is according to the American Printing House for the Blind, between the ages of 0 and 21, 34% are considered non-readers. That comprises the majority, by the way. 9% stick with Braille, 27% are capable of reading visually, 8% get their lessons done as auditory readers, and the last 22 qualify as pre-readers. Now let's see, we'll do one more fact that you can share. The vast majority of legally blind students attend schools where the teachers do not know Braille. 85%, in fact. Most visually impaired and legally blind students in the United States receive their education in mainstream classrooms, many of them ill-equipped to meet their needs. Since so many teachers know little or nothing of Braille, this results in a reduced literacy rate and more academic struggles. Well, there you have it, and I have a quote for you to end today's program. Braille is knowledge, and as you know, knowledge is power. Well, that's a quote from Louis Braille himself. Braille is knowledge, and knowledge is power. Thank you for listening, and I do hope you have a great week this first week of the new year. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.